You've gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills.
Number 33.
Yo, you know what's kind of fitting about this is we do have a guest in studio, the one and only Petey Suggs, and he was actually on Chrome Bills 3, which was lost due to some technical difficulties. But coming back for 33, one and only Petey Suggs.
Well, thank you. It is an honor, Cole and Chucky and Steve.
Word up, dude. You know, one could say that my man is double dipping.
Hey, I'm all about the double dip guy. Come on,
that's what's up. So we were going nuts at the beginning, man. We were talking God, we were talking all kinds of stuff. One thing that we were talking about too, the new VIB program, very important, billionaires.
Yep.
Subscribe on
Cha-ching.
iTunes, follow us on SoundCloud, and you will become a VIB. Very important.
Who are some VIBs right now?
My man Sloppy Joe's got to be in there. He's
definitely
giving Chuck show advice. He's giving show notes. My man Chuck. Chuck, actually, I thought you were saying you got a new skit for us tonight.
Yeah, so Errors and Omissions is going to be rebranded as Errors, Omissions, and Additions.
An addition to Errors and Omissions called Additions.
Mm. Yep. So on the last episode, Crack.com had helped us with the 14 gay-sounding rap lyrics. I know it was everyone's favorite bit. If you haven't heard it, go check it out on episode 32 of Chrome Bills towards the end. The one that stuck with me is, I wish a motherfucker would come in my face by Pharrell. But Sloppy Joe hit me to a joint. I can't believe I didn't know it. On Funkmaster Flex Volume 1 on Redman, is about to spit a freestyle, and right before he rhymes, he goes, I got Tic Tacs in my mouth and a big dick.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
What about when he said, pumping men like Janet Jackson, she's asking if I can slam it before tonight's the night.
Yeah. Yeah, that should have been included.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a whole one on Redman lines, because I swear there's one where he says, male groupies get shaky when I come from the rear.
Yeah.
That's on Muddy Waters somewhere. So, Petey Suggs, man, it's good to have you on here.
Great.
A little memory
here
that involves all four of us is, I think it was the first or second time I met you, Steve was having a party at his house. It was a barbecue in the back.
Yep.
And he was like, fuck it, I'm going to bring the turntables outside.
Yeah.
Brought the turntables out back, set them up, and we had a little cypher going that was so popping that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the cops came.
Yes, they did. And then they came back.
It was a proud moment. They
remember
did.
That?
They came. Yeah, they
that
came.
That was a two-and-a-half-hour cypher. That cypher should have been taped.
I agree.
I feel retarded, but nobody knew it was going to go down. It's like all the best times, you know? They just happened.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
It went on so long that, like, when it started, there was probably 25, 30 people at this barbecue. They were all very engaged.
Yeah.
By the time it was done, are we the only people here?
Well, I remember I came over, you guys started at like 4, I think I came over at like 6:30 or 7, and I could feel things starting to thin out a little bit, and like the sun went down, I got super focused, and the next thing I know, I was like, yeah, we're definitely very alone right now.
Yeah.
But it was so dope. I mean, it must have lasted like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very long. Very typical rap show.
Yeah. Flex Matthews
with nobody
there.
And
right.
Flex Matthews. Shout out to Flex Matthews.
Flex, definitely the dude. Like, if you're going to have a very long cypher, like, Flex is a good dude to have in there. He could go for days.
Yep.
I feel like we're blending two stories, though. I think it was the following year that we basically did the same thing, and that's when Flex was
there. Is actually true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There were two cyphers.
You guys are the math guys.
I do like that we're the math guys, because Pete specifically said it was a 2.5 hour cipher, and a minute later Cole says this thing went on for 6 hours.
I definitely
to Bill Brad.
That's a 250% increase.
Right. Was I at the first one? Was I the second
one?
Yeah,
you were at both.
Yeah, okay. I think you were at both.
Yeah. See, I don't even remember that shit. I think it lasted about 12 weeks, though. We freestyled for 12 weeks.
You had a pretty epic rhyme about the continental cold cut.
Okay.
That was pretty sick.
And you had the Ice Cube dissing freestyle.
Oh, yeah. We went from wearing a hairnet to Are We There Yet or something like that.
Nice.
Wow. He remembers
shots
the rhyme.
Fired.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up, man? What for those who maybe don't know you out there.
No doubt.
How? What's the name you go by?
Sug Life, baby.
Sug Life DC.
SUGGLIFE. Right. DC, if you're fucking with Twitter.
And people would know you initially from rapping, correct?
Initially from rapping, if you've been around the last 10 years, I've been, you know, in and out of the scene, kind of periphery. Never really dove in the way I should have, but that's life. But lately, it's been comedy. You know, several nights a week. Weekly lately at the Arlington Draft House. You can catch me practically every Saturday at the Green Room. Best comics in the area.
So that's a regular gig now.
That's pretty much a regular thing now. I'm on the regular list. You know, I don't get bumped. Most people get bumped. And that's what it is, man.
Now, I hope that venue is ready for what we like to call the Chrome Bills bump. Because now that you've mentioned that you're there on a weekly basis, this will post... I guess it'll be like middle of February by the time it posts. It'll be next Monday. Mm-hmm. And so the following Saturday, you know, it'll be like the day after Valentine's Day. And people, was it Friday or Saturday?
Saturday night. Every Saturday night.
Yeah, so that Saturday, the 15th, it'll be popping.
You can see me there, every one of them. Even if I don't get on for some weird reason.
I'll tell you what there's going to be an increase in. Babies being conceived and people at your show. Happy Valentine's Day.
Not mutually exclusive.
Do you go in with prepared material, or do you make it up as you go along?
You know, occasionally you'll make something up. If, for instance, there's a heckler, if there's somebody that looks like they'd be fun to pick on in the first couple rows, that everybody can see. But generally, you got to go in with a plan. You don't go in with a plan, you're done.
Yeah.
Right. You have any hip-hop jokes?
Any hip-hop jokes? I've got some, but only on the old school tip. If I got the right crowd, I'm just waiting for talking about, you know, coming into the psych ward where I work during the daytime, right? And all these kids be bullshitting, and I'm like, yo, like, what's going on, man? Why are you suicidal? Oh, man, I hear voices. I'm like, what do they say? They're like, that's Eric Sermon.
That's dope.
Yeah, nice. That's dope. Nice. Round of applause.
I remember one of the last times I saw Pete do comedy, a joke that stuck in my head. It was during the Summer Olympics. So this must have been 2012. And he was talking about, he's like, people are just walking, you know, watching people swim back and forth in a pool. And they're like, I can do a 100-meter breaststroke in a minute or whatever. And he's like, have you ever seen how busted these women are? Like, let's see how long it takes them to give me an erection. Right. I was dying, dude. I was dying.
That's a classic.
I forgot about that routine.
That's a good joke.
Wow. I might have repressed that one, but thank you.
Now, how did you get into that?
Let that one bubble back up to the surface. No
hey.
You need a Winter Olympic joke now.
I'll think of something. Yeah, maybe before the end of the podcast.
For sure.
How'd I get into it? It was honestly on a dare. Like about 3-4 years ago, my man Chris Reed, shout out to Chris Reed, lives in Columbia Heights, and he just said, you know, look, there's this group of guys, they come and do comedy at the Looking Glass, you know, swear they're funny, la la la, I think you could smoke 80% of these dudes. Why don't you just email my man Reggie Melbro, shout out to Reggie. Good local comic around the way. And he's like, yeah, you can try getting up, you know, like, let's just see what happens. If I give you the light, you gotta get the fuck off. And I went up there, it just killed it. And then fucking, we had a nice little 3-week tour de force, and then I got a real job, and I didn't think I could do it for like nights and then go to work. So I took a year hiatus. Then I got back into it when I started getting depressed again.
Yeah, you needed that outlet.
Needed the outlet, right? Yeah.
Well, also around this time, you were newly sober, correct?
No. I've been sober now about, almost 8 years.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, this was like 2010.
Who's on the soundboard over there? You're not going to give him a round of applause for sobriety?
Yeah. Let's give
him. Y'all are sleeping.
Woo! Thank you.
If Captain Soundboard was there, I would have been all over that shit. You almost be kidding me.
Well, the thing about the clap, for whatever reason, it needs to be cut.
It's like, fucking long.
It lasts like 90 seconds.
It does. Hold on. I did upload a couple sounds. So we got a shout out to my man
Cole Policy
from Tony Kornheiser.
Friend of the show, Tony Kornheiser. I wrote in and said, TK, I got a podcast going. You're my man since way back in the day.
And he was like,
who are you? Cole
right.
Policy.
Wow.
Who are you? Cole Policy.
I'm a big fan of Kornheiser. Got an email read. It's pretty much the greatest accomplishment. It'd be better for me than having a child, to be perfectly honest. You know, it's a big deal.
Shots fired.
Wow, word. That one was a subliminal jab right
hit
across
close.
The table.
It hit close.
No, it was
Haleo Studios, based in Washington, D.C.
It was amazing. It was an amazing moment. And for people that want to get their name read on our air. On the Chrome Bills.
Our air.
Our bandwidth, I should say.
Yeah.
I keep thinking like we're a terrestrial radio show.
It's
my friendship with TK. But you can reach us on Twitter at Chrome Bills. We got a couple segments you could get involved in. Any Ask Seizes or anything like that?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't seen any.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually want to do something. You know, when Cole and I did the First Name Basis album, which is available anywhere you buy fine music, First Name Basis, we set up a Google phone number and let people call in. And there's actually an interlude on the album of people that called in, and like we mixed them all together. I think we should set up a call-in number for the show.
That'll
awesome
be
for episode 34. We'll have
let's do that.
We'll have a call-in number for Chrome Bills where we could actually play audio of questions.
Who
be on the lookout.
Who called you a hairy Greek on that interlude? I was always curious.
I think it was ID.
DJ ID. DMC winner.
I always thought that was the funniest one.
He had a voice modulator, so he was sounding like a woman at one point, and modulated back. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was
crazy. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. We should do that.
That's vicious.
Send us pics of breasts too, please.
Speaking of promoting the show, and again, I've already let too long go before putting this out there, but a couple popular people giving retweets to, I guess it's episode 31, the Edan interview, the Humble Magnificent.
30.
Is it 30? Episode 30 with Edan has been retweeted by DJ Qbert.
Who are you?
DMC winner.
Woo!
Who else am I forgetting? Conspiracy DMC. Radio. Who's that? Who's that
who
again, Steve?
That was Mr. Montana.
Mr. Montana.
Yeah, Pete knows who that is.
Necro. Ego Trip. You
who
know, so
you?
Shout out to
dope.
Everyone supporting the show, big and small.
Hey, I got
different styles. They had their marketing campaign going strong.
It's getting big. But I wanted to give a shout out to Mike and Pete from my office for listening. Shout outs, fellas.
Good name there, buddy.
Yeah.
Hut hut.
VIBs, all of them, every last one.
I actually heard that Different Styles has taken it as kind of a joke, what's going on, and has a diss track coming about season myself.
Oh, shit.
I look forward to hearing that.
I think that's airing on episode 40, so we're about 6 episodes out from that. That's going
to
be good.
It gives us time to record that track.
Yeah. We got to compile the list of the names.
It's... We got it somewhere.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. We have got it.
I have an intern working on it, too.
I feel like that could be the name of this episode. We've got it somewhere.
We got it somewhere. We got it covered.
Whatever it is you need or want, somewhere we've got it.
So, in addition to being a rapper, a stand-up comedian, working at the psych ward, being sober, you're also a well-known atheist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm very vocal about that stuff. I believe it's important. I think more people should renounce God and learn to think for themselves for a change. You know what I mean?
How do you renounce God? You mean tell people that you don't believe in God or?
Oh, how do I get them to? I mean, just talk scientifically. It isn't even a matter necessarily of saying, you know, I am an atheist. It's just sort of like they say something stupid like, oh, you know, like the sky's blue because Jesus made it that way or something like that, and you just say,
well, here's
retarded.
The thing, Steve. I think the question you were asking is, how does one announce that?
Yeah, how does one announce
that's
the renouncing?
That's what we need to do. I don't know what Chuck and Steve's religious affiliations are. I'm in the same boat as you.
Right.
So what we should do is create the first Chrome Bill swag, and it's just like an announcement that you're an atheist now, you've given up on God.
Wow.
And you just like frame it and put it in your home. Like it's like a diploma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can sell those. There's a big market for that.
I see Chuck checking out over there. Are you checking out?
No, not at all. I figured I was going to let it go, and then I'd come in with what I always say, which is that I respect everyone's beliefs. I personally don't believe in God, but I also think that you walk a very dangerous line of being the people you have the problem with if you're jumping down random people's throat about it, because that's my biggest problem with religious people. If we're sitting here having like a conversation, or like Pete, like you said, if you got to check somebody, that's completely different. But what I don't want is someone on the street, the same way I have, like when I walk through a New York City subway and I have people telling me that, like, I'm, you know, Christ is my Lord and Savior, and the reason why the train is crowded and it's cold today is because, you know, we were bad to God or whatever. Like, I don't want the other version of that either.
No, that'd be so ill if there was someone standing right next to him. Like, Christ is your Lord and Savior. No, he's not.
No, I know what you mean. But, like, for instance, sometimes even, like, the little simple, seemingly passive utterances of, like, sort of religious or superstitious people gets just fucking annoying. It's, like, ubiquitous. Like, for instance, at the psych ward where I'm working at, we do our, like, flash meeting every day, you know? And we have people that come in, they get their three hots in a cot, they leave, then they come back 20 times a year. And you're sitting there, and somebody says, oh, my God, that guy's, like, so-and-so. And they're like, oh, don't say his name. Like, that means he's going to come back or something. And I just don't have a problem looking at him and be like, no.
Like, ghost stories and shit.
I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. There's no God.
Right.
It is a little comic relief, but I mean, yeah, there's no teleological basis to flatulence. Like, that's my point.
That, so, like, might be the name of the show, actually.
I like Three Hots and a Cod, personally. Oh, yeah. I think they're in different styles, actually. They're now in different styles.
Yo, I mean, the Cod is the DJ.
Three Hots
there's
and a Cod is the DJ.
Three MCs, and then the DJ is the Cod. Mm-hmm.
So, like, when Kevin Durant scores 32 points and then he thanks God for it?
Yeah, that really annoys me. I'll tell you something to speak to this point. Richard Sherman, one thing I really enjoyed about him was he was like, yo, I'm the motherfucker that did this. He didn't thank Jesus. He's like, I'm just the best quarterback in the NFL. He didn't diss him straight up, but right, it was refreshing to hear, like, I did it, rather than going and praying with your opponent it's after.
Although everyone knows the Stevie Johnson thing, and that is unfuckwittable.
What's that?
You might that's when he blamed God for him dropping a pass.
Good for
and
him.
He was like, and his actual sentence is, he's like, I can't believe you're going to do me like that.
Stevie.
Watch the levels. Scream off mic.
That might need a little post.
I might have to edit that out. You're making work for me right now, Pete.
That would be an ill soundboard clip.
Okay. That's good,
yeah,
though,
actually,
right?
That clip needs to go on the soundboard. That's Pete Suggs is forever with the show.
Yeah,
well, it's an interesting thing, too. Like, when people, the notion of majority versus minority, like, if someone went on air or, like, after a football game and a player was like, I'm going to tell you this right fucking now. Like, God didn't have anything to do with this. Not just say, like, I did this on my own. Be like, not only did I do this, I'm taking credit for proving that there's no God.
That's the next step. That will be the next step.
That's the same expression as thank God and then moving on from that. But if people did that, every you know, like, it wouldn't be allowed. That's ridiculous, I think.
I think that's the next step. Somebody's going to do
that. Did anybody see the Doug Stanhope thing sort of in the similar vein? Doug Stanhope's great comedian. He, after, I don't know, there was like a tornado or some kind of thing, or a hurricane in like Kansas or whatever. And
I know where you're going.
I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. And Wolf Blitzer's going around like talking to the victims or whatever, saying like, oh, you lost your house, like, what about this, you know? And they're like, well, I'm just thankful I'm alive. And he says, oh, do you think like the Lord might have had something to do with that? Which is pretty ridiculous journalism. But then the lady straight up said, no, actually, I'm an atheist in the middle of Kansas, so I don't think it had anything to do with it. And Stanhope, because he says that took nuts, raised $150,000 for this
to rebuild her house.
And he's like, the biggest highlight for me was just having a giant, like, cardboard check delivered up to these, you know, people, and just to give to this lady while all the faithful people were eating off the FEMA truck. And he's like, sometimes being a dick can really create, like, charitable outcomes. It was awesome.
Or just, if that's what you feel, be free to say it.
It's harder to do. Well, I mean, this is in like Oklahoma, right?
Oklahoma,
where it's really difficult to have alternative views, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's not exactly like doing it in Brooklyn.
Yeah, when it's not the same thing. So, yo, let's get into some music real quick. Break it up a little bit.
I'm excited for this.
Petey picked this track out, so I'll let you intro it, Pete.
All right. Yo, this one was back in 1994. It's off Twister from Chicago's album Resurrection. Twister, for everyone who knows, is like the most fast polysyllabic record holder. He's in the Guinness Book for the most syllables in a bar, rhyme, or whatever scheme. Mm-hmm. This was his response to two different disses, one by Naughty by Nature called Sleeping on Jersey from 1993, I believe, and then the Beat Nuts from the Intoxicated Demons EP, No Equal. He thought they were getting at them. I think Naughty was. I'm conflicted if the Beat Nuts were getting at him or
all
Das Effects.
All that tiggity
tongue twisting shit, whatever.
I mean, if anything, that one I always thought sounded like a Das Effects diss.
I thought it was Das Effects too.
Because they also dissed Das Effects on the same EP on Third of the Trio, where he says, you fuck with cool fashion, Das the end.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, aha. But whatever it was, Twister just came back and annihilated him.
All right, let's check this.
All right, well, let's get into this. Chrome Bills, 33.
Making no bones about what kind of beat this is gonna be.
Then why test the champion? It can't be done. You're walking barbed wire. You watch me carve liars. The shogun cuts a duck. Fuck naughty. I'm in that hate your nature. Ready to break your state. You claim and narrate you. Faker. Take you to degrees deeper than death. For this, I get your fist to miss the split your wrist. Thinking I bit your twist. Now picture this. Me biting something from you and you can't top me. Better yet, stop me or drop me. Your technique is sloppy. Check my flow autopsy. Copy you never be cleverly. My shit blows up. Leaving them froze up. Straight from the toes of 50 shows up in my city. We run shit like the president, turn you to residue, snatch up your revenue, rip this and that like residue, beds of you, your dead bodies after we cut your hair short, this and shy, why dare sport, we fly more heads than airports, thick in your heart, but when I pull your card, I bet you stretch, go fetch a tretch, I make them disappear like etch a sketch, wretched nigga, keep you out your mouth or get your neck split, quickly I used to wreck shit, but now punk, I'm on some next shit, check it, the crew you tried is making sure you blew aside, face the beat down, bitch nigga, fucking with shy, suicide, when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. I come deep as gopher tactics, pop them like prophylactics, diplomatics, no statics, taking, breaking punks up. I'm a pro at it, go at it with whoever. Crew never cracks, pack gaps. Fuck your chains and locks, chainsaws, hatches, butter cutters, and bats. Braids and blades and machetes, petty shit you carry. Can't scare me, fairy. Burn your obituary at the cemetery. Tutu a casket, heads and bread baskets. Dead when lead blasted, burn them like acid. Fuck a ghetto bastard. Huh. Come with that hey ho, better stay low. End up with a halo. Spread blood like mayo. Looks like a TKO. Say no to treachery, bet you be thinking you're ganking. I do the shanking. Naughty kids always get a spanking. So, go diss some old MCs instead of these. Put your better ease or get your head filled up with holes like cheddar cheese. Never let her breathe. Blow me down, kid, this ain't the season. Tongue twist back to Chicago, bitch, you told you I was leaving. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Selector, my DJ cuts up. Be hype, says what's up. Let's beat the nuts up. Eat the ducks up and sweep they guts up. The things I bring, I make you spring forward and later fall back. Talking about twisting, don't oppress you like your shit is all that. Go get your text, I got grenades to pack pins. Be quick to stack men, black men with Mac 10. Ready to let they fingers back bin. And if I catch you dreaming of dissing and scheming, you'll find intoxicated demons sucking semen. Hear what I'm screaming? Huh, another pussy wants to break me in. A homo sapien, beat him down and won't give a fuck what type of shape he in. Yellow's the color of the cape he in. Punk your style, I'll be facing fatality. Split his head like a personality while I'll be cracking heads like jokes. Leave a tight stitch, but this is my hype. Bitch, fuck you and that white bitch. I'm hoping you might switch. Remember that
that show in the West thought I was a whip man, please. The pimp slams G's, swing on them C's like chimpanzees. Get your nose, butts, bones broke, neck, crack, wrist split with this shit. Talking shit about the shy behind my back, now you get this bitch. What's up, nigga? Come on, step, unless you're just a sucker. Fucking with shy, suicide mission, motherfucker. Suicide when you're fucking with the shy. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shy. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die. Suicide when you're fucking with the shot. Booyah! I wonder why motherfuckers wanna die.
Although Steve did point out very accurately that cheddar cheese does not have holes in it.
Yeah, you can't really put holes in cheddar cheese.
I mean, you could, but that's not... He was thinking of Swiss cheese.
That's right. Unless,
I mean?
Unless he's making his own form of cheese.
Yeah, go for it.
He's like a connoisseur of cheeses.
Yo.
And he has his own homemade...
If you could rap like that, you could do whatever you want. What are you doing now?
I think he could make cheddar cheese
making
into
cheese.
Swiss if he wanted to.
Why
right.
not?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him.
But man. That shit was dope.
Yeah,
that
good
was,
call, Pete. Good
thank
call,
you,
man.
Thank you,
very,
sure, dude.
Very good pull.
Word up.
I did, in the interest of avoiding future errors and omissions, I looked up. It's 598 syllables in 60 seconds.
Wow.
That was
wow.
the record. From what I can tell, it's since been broken, but it wasn't by anyone that speaks English.
Okay.
Which it was yeah. a couple like Latin people, and I feel like just the nature of Latin language versus English... That there's
racism
a lot of
alerts.
Like
racism alerts.
No, I think
no,
that's very accurate.
No, strictly language based.
That's very accurate.
I'll bring on our Latin correspondent.
Well, hey, think
Paul,
about
Paul Ramos, and he can justify.
Think
that
about
it's just
this.
Very easy to say things like levántate.
Levántate.
Just think about how much easier it would be to rap in Spanish than German.
Mm-hmm.
Like Spanish is very fluid. Right. German's very halting.
The romantic,
English, I feel like
the
is,
romantic languages.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
Valentine's Day is coming up. Get that VIB program going. But I feel like, you know, certain languages lend themselves to speed and getting things across quickly.
Mm-hmm,
and
certainly.
Others are just like very rigid. We will make our point succinctly.
Yeah.
You know?
But what about like, okay, the Asian languages you have?
Oh, boy.
Asian.
That's racist.
Racism okay. alert.
But like Chinese, 2,500 characters. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you could go through the whole alphabet maybe and like
true.
Do it in a minute.
I'd like to see Gift of Gab from Blackalicious. Try and do that, you know, the alphabet song where it's
yeah.
like every song starts with A and B.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see him really step his game up, learn Chinese, and drop 2,500 letters on people.
That'd be like the rest of his career, writing that.
That's a good call, Chuck.
Magnum opus.
Mm-hmm. We do have a sponsor for tonight's show.
Who's that?
Now, I'm not a big fan of cats, you know. But one thing that I was thinking about is it's been, you know, raining here a little bit. We're getting some snow. What do you do if your cat gets wet? Like, do you dry it off? Well, not anymore, because I've developed a cat blow dryer. It's a blow dryer that's got a mirror on the top, because that's the only thing that'll keep that vain little fucker's attention. And then you just blow dry your cat after it gets wet.
A lot of cat hatred on
Ooh.
The show. Right now.
I'm so glad that you're a Redskins fan,
Who's
Pete?
Being a dick?
Oh, yeah. All day, baby. See that shirt?
There's no way I could have done this show if you were a Giants fan. Like, if that bounced out, I'd have had to quit.
That's a nice Doug Williams shirt you got on there.
Oh, yeah, man. I picked it up right before the show.
Oh, yeah?
Matter of fact, yeah, it just arrived at my door.
Nice.
And, man.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Cole's issue with the show, that does set up episode 39 guest, Antrell Roll, Pro Bowl free safety for the New York Football Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really didn't cover any 33s tonight. I feel like there's a lot of 33s.
Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Bo Show.
Pat Ewing.
The more I get removed from what a like pain in the ass he was, Kareem was the truth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? He was sick.
Yeah.
Football, there's got to be a billion. Chrome billion.
Yo, speaking of which, Super Bowl just happened. It was in New York City. But I want to talk about one thing because the game, we don't need, it's been belabored to death and it was a boring-ass game to watch. Did anyone see the truther, like the 9/11 truther bum rush the press conference afterwards?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I turned it off.
They were interviewing the MVP. Was it
Steve Bills, did you see that?
I saw it on Deadspin. I didn't actually watch it, though.
Who's MVP, Marshawn?
Malcolm Smith, I think is his name.
Malcolm?
Yep. Yeah, kidding. Malcolm Smith.
He's a linebacker. Yeah, he
brother
was
of
there,
wide
like,
receiver
still...
Steve Smith. Obscure fact. Not Steve Smith on the Panthers. Steve Smith, who
the Giants.
Was on the Giants, yeah.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there in the press conference, like wearing his full pads and everything in a hat, which I always think is a weird look. Where like the dudes don't take their pads off, but this dude just runs in. He's like, 9/11 was by the government. Look it up, and then like ran off. He didn't get tackled or anything.
I'm telling you, Deadspin has like by far the funniest comments of any website. I don't know if you have to like pass some sort of comedy test to be able to throw things in. But like I scrolled down and the first thing I read was they were like, that's what happens when the Broncos defense runs security for the press conference. And right. I was like, yo, that is so dirty yet so dead on.
Yeah. That's where a lot of the new blog stuff like Drew McGarry, the Kissing Susie Colbert, they all came out of the Deadspin commenting forum.
Okay.
We need to do that. We need to infiltrate forums.
I'm too lazy for
spread
that.
The word. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Cole, I'm going to appoint you to do that. I'll keep doing show prep. Steve can keep doing
whatever he does.
I feel like I'd be a good troll. Just a real fucking
Cole the troll.
Cole the troll. Yes.
Troll Cole is in different styles.
I just try to sell cat blow dryers on every message board. Get under
I feel like
skin.
if there was I didn't mean to cut you off. If there were still Garbage Pail Kids and it was now like 2014, the one would definitely be some stinky ass dude at his computer, and it would be Cole the Troll.
Cole the Troll.
Actually, though, there's good file footage of Steve at what, the tender age of 6 or 7 doing Garbage Pail Kids at the 7-Eleven. It made the news.
I was on USA Today.
You know,
what?
I was on USA Today when I was like 9 years old.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
They interviewed me. What was the name of the. Highs in
Holy
Kensington.
Holy shit. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
They bought me like 3 packs of cards and then asked me about Garbage Pail Kids. Yeah.
Were you with your parents?
Yeah, I was with my mom.
The new craze.
Yeah.
But some say it's subversive.
And then they had some anti-Garbage Pail Kid, you know.
What'd you say? You're like, yeah, they're fucking awesome. I told you.
These things rock.
You're like chewing the gum that comes in the pack. You're like, that's so toxic.
My mom buys me crack and Garbage Pail Kids, and I'm fine.
Don't listen to this dyke.
Whoa. Whoa. And then you hold up a card. It's like, what? It's Tyke the Dyke. Like, yeah, it's an actual card.
It's cool. So, yeah. So there's some footage out there.
Did you ever tell? Well, please tell me you have the footage.
I have it. Yeah.
Okay. We got to put that up.
It's on beta,
there was a
right?
Garbage Pail Kids movie.
No.
Yeah. I don't want to talk too much about it because it was very traumatizing.
It was bad.
It just looked odd.
Okay.
The whole thing was like a bad nightmare.
Right.
But that happened.
The 80s were awesome, man.
Yeah. I don't know. See, why do you feel that way? Because you actually, think it's because you were young?
There was just weird stuff. Like they put weirder stuff on television in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like Fraggle Rock or something. That was weird, man.
That was strange.
You know?
Right.
Cole, is there any era you have love for before you jump down the 80s? I just
want to
know if you've accepted that every time period blows.
I feel like the late 90s was a definite.
From 98 to 99, he liked a lot.
Well, no, from like 98 to like 2004.
Okay. That's the late 90s.
The late 90s.
Well, early 2000s. What do you call it? The aughts, the 2000s?
You're good.
I feel like there was like a pretty, like, it was a very, once the internet got introduced, it became literally like a digital Wild Wild West. And so much cool shit came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of the stuff of the 80s, like there wasn't some crazy technological advance. Like all of a sudden you had like a car, fucking microwaves, like a color TV. And then for what? 20 years?
Yeah.
Nothing came along till the internet. And then it was just like, holy shit.
Right.
You could do anything on here.
Yeah.
Particularly like all the music that, look at what we're fucking doing now.
It's kind of ridiculous.
This show would not happen without the internet.
Very true.
No way in
or
hell.
A credit card.
Other than that, everything sucked though, just to be clear.
I don't know. You can make the argument like either way. I'm more of an 80s guy. And sometimes I think, maybe it's just because I was a kid then and I was footloose and fancy free. But then I ask like old people from
they're
like the
50s styles.
And 60s, you know, that was their generation. Like, did you like the 80s kind of better than now? And they're like, fuck yeah, man. The 80s were tight, like music wise, you know. That's all I bump other than hip hop is 80s pop.
Yeah.
I'm a fiend for that
you
shit.
Did bring
I've been copping mad 80s pop records on 45, I will admit.
Got some
Peter Gabriel in the mail today.
Woo!
Very excited.
What'd you get? So?
No, it's the what the hell is the name of that song? Let me pull it out right now.
What if he had an? Well, let me pull it out right now. What if he had an album called "Putting the Gay in Gabriel"? I mean, I definitely will agree. Like,
artists Without Frontiers is the name of this track.
Oh yeah,
it was on the end of The Americans.
Yep.
If anyone watched that show, it was the last song on the season one finale.
One nice thing about that era was that, as opposed to now, where it's sort of easy to do like make music or do a podcast. But at that point, like, you had to be in a studio, someone running like analog for you. Like, that was, you definitely had to have your shit together. So pop music then was, it was dope. I liked that time too.
And you were paying your way for the studio time,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So you had to make sure.
Hey, yeah. we got to go to Radio Shack and record on the ASR, and then we have 3 rap albums. Oh, man. Take your time. Slow down.
Yeah.
Just do it right. So if you're going to do it right. Cat blow dryers, huh?
That's it. I get the bodega down my block to sell all 50 copies, and now I got a fan base, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, speaking of eras, I watched this New York 77 documentary that I put Steve Bills up on, too, that I highly recommend to both of you guys and all the Chrome Billions out there. It's a documentary about 1977 in New York, which is actually the year that, you know, punk music and hip-hop, I don't want to say started, but, like, really got their wheels going.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other interesting things that happened in that same year. That's the year there was, like, a 25-hour blackout in New York City and just a total crime rampage. It was the year of the summer of the Son of Sam. And I'm thinking, oh, there's like a big governor race between like Cuomo and Ed Koch. And like all these, oh, and graffiti was, it was the year they started buffing the trains. So yeah. It's like a really interesting, I'd say, Steve, what is it, like 60 minutes? Maybe like 70, 80 minutes?
Yeah, it was like, I feel like it was an hour and a half or so. But it was definitely, it went by quick. They break it up into parts and they bounce between all these different things like the mayoral race. And the punk scene, graffiti scene, hip-hop, the blackout, and Summer of Sam.
That's 80 minutes well spent. Dude, where can you find it?
It's online.
I found it on Vimeo. You can stream it for free on Vimeo. It's called NY77, something about what, the best year in hell or something like that?
Yeah.
There's a little tagline to it.
The coldest year in hell. Yep. So it's worth it for hip-hop fans just to see the Grandmaster Caz footage. They have some really funny interviews with him, man.
Ah, bet.
Yeah, Kaz is the man.
And who's the other dude, too? The Puerto Rican dude?
DJ Disco Wiz.
Yeah, wow. DJ Disco Wiz.
Yep. Tight.
And honestly, I knew a lot of the hip-hop stuff. I mean, like you said, it's hearing it from those voices is obviously very nice and worth checking. But I was ignorant to the CBGB's sort of punk music aspect of it.
Yeah,
and now, I mean, it's different for me now that I live up here and I walk down the Bowery like all the fucking time. That it's very cool. I would be surprised if anyone watched it and didn't enjoy.
We're missing one aspect, and that was the disco era.
Oh yeah, and like the Studio 54 disco, like clubbing era too,
which looked whack as fuck to me. I don't know. Like, just, it was like the beginning of the waiting outside of a bar to get in and like sitting out there all night and then getting denied when you get to the door. Like,
it was funny. The
exclusivity of it is,
they agreed. Started That's the a good shit. Point.
That's a bad look. That's I feel a like bad look. On both ends, for you to actually, to have that happen to you twice, like the first time that happens, that should be the end of you trying to attend that function.
Yeah.
And then the person turning you away, they can't feel good.
They're a terrible person.
They can't feel good.
That's interesting. Did they interview Just Ice at all?
No, man.
He used to bounce at a bunch of punk rock clubs.
Okay.
That was his profession.
It would have been cool to see some Just Ice. I haven't really seen that many Just Ice interviews in my life.
He's a wild
man. He's a character, yeah.
He went after Black Poet with a gun over that, what is it, All Hell Breaks Loose.
Right.
What's that song where he disses everyone in the Bronx?
Oh, Black Poet?
Yeah. That old PhD song.
Fucking Flippin'?
No,
it was like called Flippin' or something like that.
Something crazy.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. And Just Ice went hunting for him in Queens with a piece. Nuts.
That is nuts. I mean, if that happened today, it'd be over. People be like, all right, well, that's we can't do rap anymore.
Right.
Pretty
There's
much.
Literally people like it's not Rick Ross impersonating a parole officer. There's people chasing each other with guns now.
Yeah.
It's interesting too to see how like have you guys been following? I feel like this is the kind of thing that. People that listen to us will be aware of at least how bad it is in Sochi for the Olympics. Like it's people are like, yeah, you can't drink the water in like a hotel room. Like you can't flush toilet paper down the toilet. Like there are some bad places, man. You know what I mean?
Work.
Much as I'll complain about some shit, like this is not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Just like when I hear about those circumstances, I'm like, man, what?
Did you see the footage of the they're like people doing prelims for cross country skiing? No. And then all of a sudden, like a stray dog comes on the course and starts barking at the people skiing.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And then in the background, like right next to the course, there's like the security guards for the Olympics sitting there, and they're just watching the dog do this, you know? And they don't do shit about it. They just watch, you know?
Like, we haven't gotten our immunization.
And the fucking skiers are just like, get the fucking dog off the course, man.
Like, this is the Olympics. Although, I'm gonna take one shot at the Olympics this year. It's like, it's becoming more and more clear that NBC is pulling the strings on what events are in and aren't in, you know? And, like, a lot of the ones that were never good to show on TV, like wrestling and stuff, have been removed from like the past Olympics and stuff like that, and they've created a couple new figure skating events. So I was watching the news, and they're like, "Yeah, they've added these new team like figure skating." You know that shit kills in the ratings. And literally a half an hour later, they're like, "These people will become they're the Americans with the chance to be the first ever Americans to win a gold medal in this event." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, because you just created it like six months
just
ago.
You just hyped them up."
like, don't act like it's been going on since ancient Greece, and the U.S. has never gotten over the top.
And now they have a Subway commercial.
Friends of the show.
The Subway. 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 We will pimp out any of your favorite athletes.
Free cat blow dryer with every 6-inch sub.
You got to stop talking about the cat blow dryer.
The meat shoe. The meat shoe sub. Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so nice. I remember that. That's right.
So you've actually listened to the show before?
I have. Thanks, I don't recall.
You
which
sounded
episode.
Legitimately surprised.
I'm surprised.
Well, I was surprised last night when I plugged it on my Facebook and it said the Chrome Bills 13 likes. I was like, that's fucking
tight.
Cleaning up.
Yeah.
We're gonna
the unlucky number. Good things are afoot.
True.
So
Steve, do you wanna touch on what the instrumentals are in the background for today? Do you want to touch on the background?
I want to touch a lot of things.
I want to touch.
The instrumentals in the background are kind of loosely based off of diss records and also beats that you would like hear at battles.
Right.
You know? I would have done all diss record instrumentals, but man, I'm running out of fucking records to play. I need to go record shopping.
Okay.
So
why don't you do something?
Have you heard this one at a battle before, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
This is like one of those beats that you just hear a trillion times.
Artifacts. What's up now, motherfuckers? Yeah.
It's the same sample, but this is Rasko, the Unassisted.
It's the Unassisted.
The Unassisted.
Is that the Militia, too? It sounds like it might have looped that.
Probably. It's probably, potentially.
Huh. That used to be Cole's nickname up at, Fleming basketball court. He was the Unassisted.
Zing!
Wow.
Coming out gunning. Yo,
He's coming out.
I'm the dude that'll come off the court, and if the score was 12-0, somebody will ask why. I'll be like, because I hit 6-2s, or because my man scored 6-2s. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm a real either-or kind of basketball player.
But in honor of just playing some diss tracks and without getting into anything too commercialized,
right?
I think we talked about it on the last show that the Bitch in You, the common diss of Ice Cube, might be one of the greatest diss tracks of all time, if not the greatest. Is that produced by Pete Rock?
Yes.
Okay.
I found something interesting on my internet travels while looking up that song. What I thought was the only version I'd ever heard was the Pete Rock version.
Okay.
But when I saw it on YouTube, it said that it was a remix. So I wonder, and then there was at some point where I heard that verse over some, it sounded like he was at like a radio station.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say it was to a different beat, but I wonder if that was like the original, matchup.
This is so meta because every time I'm teasing a Them That's Not, he comes in with little nuggets. This is definitely like the fourth or fifth time this happened. So today's Them That's Not is going to be that album. That version was actually released never on a common album, but on three different albums.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's go.
That came out on CD. So I'm going to give you four, and you tell me which one of the following did not have the Pete Rock version of Bitchin' You by Common, which this is Ice Cube. We've got the Relativity Records Relativity Urban Assault Compilation.
Urban.
Uma Thurman.
I didn't say Uma Thurman.
Urban Assault.
That was hosted by Doo-Wop. We have the world famous Beat Junkies Volume 2. We have Rock Raiders Crossfaders, and we have De La Soul Live at Tramps Live CD.
What was the first one?
Relativity Urban Assault Compilation, hosted by Doo-Wop.
And then the De La Soul is a live album?
It's a live album.
It makes sense to me that he did it there. The other two are basically mixtapes, right?
Yeah, but they were released on major labels. It was back, like, think of Sound Bombing or something like that.
Well, my point being, like, his song would belong on both of those. Like, that's the purpose of those kind of compilations. And the first one was what again?
Urban Assault Relativity Records.
I'm going to go with, I'm going to say that the first one was what it wasn't on.
All right, let's let you guys guess before we let everyone know. Okay. Cole, Petey, with a record of 1-42, has advanced any better on?
Well, I know that was
Finish Strong
label Relativity, so I'm going to go with the law of induction as opposed to counterinduction and say that it had to have been on Relativity. However, I think De La could have used the live sample on their thing as like a freestyle or whatever. That's a sick beat. I'm going to go with 2 Beat Junkies.
I'm also going with 2 Beat Junkies.
The correct answer is, you got the applause ready?
Yep.
Number 2, world famous Beat Junkies.
God damn it. God, I hate this game. You could put the Ravens and the Giants together as one team, and I wouldn't hate them as much as I hate this game.
Do you have laughs on there now?
Yeah, I got some laugh tracks on there.
So actually, it's funny because I had the Relativity Urban Assault mixtape. It has some fat shit on it. It has If You Owe Me Money, Better Find That Shit. The Beat Nuts joint is one that comes to mind. And I always remembered it with Doo-Wop screaming at the beginning, and he was like, the Relativity Urban Assault mixtape continues on, and it goes right into that, I gotta take him off of here. I gotta take him. Oh, look at you. You got the wax over there. Well done.
I got
done.
Two copies. Uh-huh. I will give my second copy to somebody for some money.
Bills. How about me?
Or I'll give it to you. You can have it.
Only one, and that's right. For all that fighting, sucker think he good. Sucker
education,
think he can whoop me.
Education is Sonny Carson, right? Mm-hmm. That was the flick. So y'all want to get into another diss track, all right?
Yeah, let's get into something. Congratulate C's Mikes on
another loss.
That was another amazing. Loss at them.
That was amazing that you were like, you guessed the one that was a definite.
I've actually had someone ask me if it was a bit that he always gets it wrong, and I'm like, no. Honestly, there are some things that are like build-ups on the show and little like ideas will work out. This one's just me trying to plant a little seed of doubt.
I mean, no. But yes, but no.
Before we get into that, let's listen to C's on the Tony Kornheiser show. What do you say?
Let's do it. All right.
Hey.
The highlight of my life.
This is the Tony Kornheiser show on ESPN 980.
Do you have it edited?
Yeah. I know where it is.
Joe Arrow, who writes St. Louis Blues. I know you join Thomas, James, and Anthony as the top baby boys' names of 2014. Cold Policy in College Park. Yesterday's mailbag contained a miracle cure for back pain. Place a pillow under your ankles while you sleep. I've been living with chronic back pain for the past decade plus. I tried this method last night. When I woke up, it was the best my back has felt in years. For all of the useless, albeit wildly entertaining information for life I've heard on your show, this made all that wasted time worth it. Thank you. And whoever submitted that email.
Nice.
Hold on, play the end though. Chuck, you'll love the end part.
Crack my back, I'm out. So that's really good.
Oh, you said crack my back?
Well, you know how he's always shitting on Jim Rome?
Uh-huh.
And so they would always say, like, rack me, I'm out. Like, it's like an insult. So I was like, rack my back, I'm out. And, like, he actually thought it was funny. I was like, holy shit.
Dude, I actually missed that the first time. Yeah. But I'm glad that you pointed that out.
I like that C's dropped one of the different styles members' names. I don't know if you guys caught that, but albeit.
Albeit.
Classic.
Dude, that's awesome, Cole. Much respect for being up different styles on Tony Kornheiser.
All right, so I'm going to play a new track here. This is Lord Finesse dissing Lords of the Underground at Rocksteady. I don't know if you ever heard this.
Was that what we were listening to earlier?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Yo, yarn, and on that note, peace. I'm going to be out. Big respect. We're going to be hanging out, though. You know, I'm chilling around here and shit.
Big respect.
Check out Lord Finesse in the house.
Big respect.
Far side. Wherever you are, far side.
Check it out. Check it out. Check it out, Chris.
Check it out.
Chill. I want you to chill. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, this chill right here?
Just chill, man.
Okay, we'll do this quick so other crews can go on.
I'm going to say enough respect to all those out here that represent hardcore. Where my motherfucking man, Fat Joe, I ain't even see him. But bust this. I got a little stress on my chest. We going to do this acapella. We going to do it like this. Fuck that, you know who's bigger. Cause nowadays you got all these motherfucking new niggas. And fuck those who spread rumors. I didn't retire, even though you got all these Lord Finesse Juniors trying to get hype and rip mics. They just imitators, they can't quite get my shit right. So won't they just face it, that they sweat me so much, I'ma give my dick a facelift. Win a battle, I'm all for it. When it comes to this, I've been through more shit than a toilet. We could just chill or search for peace. Cause right now I'm chilling like a nigga home on work release. And even on a lover tip, still wax brothers quick. Cause when I do my thing, I'll be on some more other shit. Niggas I slaughter just to bring order. Oh, fuck it, my shit be flowing like spring water. Niggas need to shut their mouth with this. Yes, Mr. Funky Man, them niggas need to cut it out. Frontin' like they been hype. When I see them corny niggas, they getting punched in the windpipe. So go ahead and try to get raw. They ain't condoms, so what they on my dick for? I'm out to make rough figures. They claim they Chief Rockers. Well, Chief Rocky's fucking nuts, nigga. It ain't nothing you can gain from me. He bit my name, Sonny, and that's a motherfucking shame, money. He better dash, he got no class. He rhymes so fast, fuck it. Them niggas are cold trash. I wipe them niggas like a hand cloth. While I'm busting his shit, I have his bitch hit my man off. We could go on records, that's take dicks. We could battle for royalties niggas didn't make yet. Cause I got slamming rhymes. Niggas can't see me, I don't care who you get your eyes examined by. You know who the best is. Even if the Two Live crew ain't nasty like Finesse is. Give me a chance to flip, I could rag the shit. When it comes to rap, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Whether fast or something slow, I'm bad like Michael Jackson. Only thing is I'm fucking dope. Yeah. Enough respect.
Big respect.
Big respect.
Big respect.
Big respect.
Lord Finesse.
Enough respect. Lord Finesse.
The Freestyle King.
Boogie Down Productions.
Big
enough
respect.
Yeah. I love KRS just getting so hyped for that disc.
The Relativity Urban Assault Mixtape Compilation.
Brought to you
continues
by Cole
Continues on.
Oh, man.
Cole Policy.
Cole Policy.
Cole Policy.
Cole Policy. Cole Policy.
No. I love just hearing it.
Cold policy.
Bitch.
Whoa.
So it's very interesting to hear.
Extra loud.
It's very interesting to hear. He has such a perfect style for dissing, particularly live. Because he'll set something up, use it as a way to catch his breath. But he has like one line. He's like, you know who the best is. Like, that's just such an easy line to breathe through. You can breathe before and after it. And then he just rattles off, like, 10 funny-ass lines.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like he's used You Know Who the Best Is as a setup line in at least 12 verses.
Oh, yeah.
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 But he kind of... What was the origin of the diss there?
Because the guy from Lords of the Underground is named himself, like, the Funky Child or something like that.
Yeah, Mr. Funky.
Mr. Funky, right? And they had the song, The Funky Child.
Funky Child, yeah.
Hey, Mr. Funky.
And Finesse was—he's the funky man,
right?
He's also the underboss, right?
I believe he's the underboss.
What? Oh shit! I forgot. What are some of the other
Grand
names?
Imperial,
the Grand Imperial Lord Finesse.
I did find it. Well, so we discussed doing a couple diss songs on this episode, and so everybody went back and listened to stuff. I did find that it was very interesting to gauge the person's intensity of the song relative to what caused them to make it in the first place. Like, that was, you know, like 40 bars of just fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, they're bitching you. Like, it wasn't like Jay-Z, like, dissing Mobb Deep. It was like a whole song weaving in and out of everything about that cat.
Yeah. Have you guys ever really listened to the Mac 10 Ice Cube West Side Slaughterhouse track?
Yeah. West Up or whatever.
No. The one that they diss Common on.
So wasn't there two?
Okay.
I want to say two. I have.
Maybe there are two. It's actually not bad. It's not a bad song at all.
So like, is that retaliation to this?
No, this is the retaliation to that.
Because they thought he was dissing them on her.
I used to love her.
I used to love her.
Right.
So, that's another interesting thing too. Like, if you have two disses and that one person only had one, that's probably all they needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to keep doing it, I think, is ridiculous.
Right. But I thought their the diss track wasn't bad. I had always kind of written it off like as being like, you know, I'm an East Coast fan first and foremost.
Right.
So I was like, I'm not even going to listen to their song, you know? And I was like, I need to get some context for it. It actually was kind of live.
It's got to be refreshing, too, to have come to the table with those expectations and that set of, like, what you're thinking about.
Right.
And get such a different style of rap. Stands out,
yeah,
you know?
Sure. For sure.
Different styles.
Not the different styles, but a different style.
Yep.
But I think that's like an interesting point by profile beef, you know? Like, Farrakhan eventually ended up squashing it.
Right.
I mean, that's
I think it's interesting what Cole said about, like, the intensity of the beef equating to how hard people rhyme on shit. And I think, like, Ice Cube, No Vaseline, where now you're talking about people, like, literally getting fucked over for money, changing their actual, like, group affiliations and stuff like that. And there is just no punches pulled.
He did say, you let a Jew ruin my crew.
That's right.
On he no said Vaseline. That in
the chat? Yeah. I mean,
oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Yep, you can't be the for life crew with a white dude telling you what to do.
Wow.
I mean, that's all the cards on the table.
Well,
bam.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. I don't know about. I felt like who was probably the most targeted person. I feel like a lot of people. Like I remember I emailed you, Be Real, dissing Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Did he get dissed more than most people?
Ice Cube, yeah, I guess so.
Like I don't remember many people going after Redman. You know,
right?
Not good. Like he will probably kill you. He wouldn't even bother making the song. He would just kill you.
No,
did anyone ever diss anyone in Wu?
Mob Deep. What?
Yeah, 50 dissed Wu Tang on the How to Rob joint.
What was he?
Oh yeah,
because
on Supreme
everybody,
Clientele,
right?
Yeah, there's that weird.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that late in the Supreme Clientele album at the end of one of the tracks?
Yeah.
And it's like Ghost talking with the vocal modulation. And he's just screaming about 50 Cent.
Yeah. I think that was Raekwon, actually.
Oh, is
you
it right?
Who
okay.
Never
it
got was dissed, at least by name, Freddie Fox.
Good call.
Well, because he looks like Mario Williams.
Yeah, he's gigantic.
Well, it also brings up an interest, and what I was getting at, too, is like, all right, well, why would somebody diss Ice Cube? Like, he's got enough notoriety that dissing him would get you somewhere. Dissing Freddie Fox, like, you'll just get beat the shit out of him. But, like, no one's going to care.
Pete dissed Ice Cube once.
Oh.
Well documented.
You went from rocking a hairnet to screaming, "Are we there yet?"
It's the most effective Ice Cube diss I've ever heard.
Yeah,
that does in a weird way that trumps like any individual bar from the Common Joint.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Farrakhan can hold me back.
You know, do you guys know like Farrakhan was like a virtuoso violin player?
Really?
No.
That's so weird, dude. You can go on YouTube and look up old videos of Farrakhan like playing the violin, and he's fucking ill at it. Like when he's a little kid. And then just strangely enough, I was in the record store digging, and I found like a disco Farrakhan record.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He was a calypso singer.
Yeah.
He went by Eugene Walcott. That
so
was his
weird,
name
dude.
Before
so
it's like on that level, there's wax and shit?
Yeah, there's wax. I got well, it's across the room, but so
Farrakhan.
One of his hit songs as a calypso guy, but while he was still Eugene Walcott, was called The Black Man's Hell. Oh, no, the White Man's Heaven's The Black Man's Hell. So he always had that vibe, like, before.
Has anyone ever sampled that record? Because, like, you would think sort of like Dead Prez or Public Enemy or someone with that message.
Oddly enough, a Ku Klux Klan rap group. It's a very odd mix. Farrakhan, that's it. Like it's those kind of nuggets. They're really open things up though.
The Wu Klux Klan.
Oh. Yo, I think I talked about this on a previous episode. There was a rap group in DC that was called the Cool Klux Klan.
No, stop playing.
I saw them at a show by like there's a
that's
venue
the funny,
on in Petworth. Like you mentioned,
was it like cool like cigarettes like KOO?
Oh, of course,
that would
they
even
had
make
to
it
still
even
be
better.
KKK.
Oh my!
Well, you know
God.
How there's Jews for Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah,
they also had a Jew Klux Klan. I bet you didn't know that.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious.
Oh, thank goodness.
Brings up sponsor of the show, the Mountain Dew Klux Klan.
It's brought to you by the Blood of Abraham rap group.
They were for real.
Yeah, they were for real.
I remember they had a video that had like a lot of shadows, you know?
Yeah.
It was murky.
And in a twist of irony, Eazy-E was financially backing them.
Of the Blood of Abraham?
Yeah. Yeah, we're Ruthless Records affiliates.
So bizarre.
Well, I thought you were making a joke.
That's
hilarious.
Dead serious.
Wow. Yeah, it was like well, they were like Hasidic,
Jerry Heller doing it for NWA.
But they were like Hasidic rappers, right? Hasidic Jew rappers.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd call them Hasidic. They're pretty profane and stuff.
Okay.
They were wild.
It was part of their identity for sure. It was their identity.
Yeah.
I remember them not being that bad though. It was one dude rhyming and then the other dude doing the beats. Was that
I
how?
I think so, yeah.
I'm going to bring a track next week. Yeah. I'm going to listen to the album and bring a Blood of Abraham track.
You know who dissed them, though?
Ice Cube?
Ice Cube. They diss Ice Cube. I wonder, you know, he's like the Kevin Bacon of rap diss songs.
Wow.
You know what I mean? 7 degrees of Ice Cube.
That's profound.
I bet everything hilarious. Would work back to him. Mm-hmm.
So, K-Chrome, you sent us over a link to a new reality TV show.
Which
is a house of battle rappers judged by the Slaughterhouse Crew.
I think this one's going to be interesting because you mix the world of testosterone-filled battle rap combined with, like, I don't know, what would you combine it with? It's kind of like
reality TV.
The hip-hop version of, I don't know, like Top Chef.
It's the hip-hop version of Making the Band.
Yo, that's pretty good.
Well, but how about this now? So, are these battle rappers dudes that are like
Disaster?
Kind of already established? Oh, he's on there?
Disaster's on there.
Oh,
this
one
is serious,
on there.
Serious, yeah. Guys.
This guy, Daylight.
Yeah, Daylight's amazing. I love Daylight. He's not the best, but he's my favorite to watch. He's so goofy.
Math Hoffa?
Yeah, he's sick.
Yeah.
Disaster was supposed. He called him out. He wanted to battle Math. There was this huge beef after he punched Sirius Jones.
Okay.
Is some Jones
guy,
on there?
No. Some guy named Abel. Ah, fuck it.
I'm not sure about
it. Anyway, some big names. I mean, when
I saw Disaster and Math Hoffa.
I think T-Rex was on there.
T-Rex.
Maybe Murder Mook was on there.
Yeah.
Like some.
How about Loaded Lux?
No, he wasn't on there.
He's sick.
Yeah,
like
he is sick. I think he's probably my favorite out of all the battle rappers right now.
Yeah, right now. I think he's the best.
But those are the heavy hitters, you know? Yeah. Like, if you had to pick, I was surprised that A, they actually went that route, and B, picked the right people.
Right.
I do think it's interesting because on all those reality shows, the judges, there's always a mix of personalities amongst the judges. You got the dickhead, and then like the woman who loves everybody, and then like the third variable who's sort of in between.
Right.
All four of those dudes are going to be ruthless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can see the battle MCs turning on them. Like, who the fuck are you telling isn't any good?
Right.
Like, that's their whole attitude to everybody.
Right.
This is the real world, motherfucker.
I mean, when they had the white rapper show, I tuned in every single week to that shit. I could not get enough of that show. And it was like a spoof show. And now here you go. You have kind of like the real deal.
Yeah.
These dudes are really going to be battling it out. I think it's going to be super interesting.
Right.
Do you remember what network that was on, Chuck?
That's on VH1. And I just pulled up the list. So we had it right. But actually, this is interesting. They've already set the first rounds. So you have Math Hoffa and Disaster. You have Arsenal and Daylight.
Ooh.
Cortez and Marv One. And then Big T and A-Verb.
A-Verb. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, A-Verb's dope.
I think it brings up a really good question that I wanted to ask you guys about. What is the correct way to judge a rap battle? Because at the end of the day, it still floats into that, like, boxing, there's usually a clear winner, unless it goes to the judges. But if there's a knockout, there's a clear winner.
Yeah.
Sports, it's like, I scored more than you. Everyone, you know, golf, I scored less than you or whatever. Like, figure skating is always the butt of the joke. Like, it comes down to judging. And that's always been the weird thing with me in battles is that you could watch one on YouTube and say, oh, that dude won. And you're like, no, but the crowd, you know, a lot of battles are crowd judged. And season, I know this well. Like, I've gone to battle people at other schools. And you get the other guy gets one bar in. This is when we were in college. And they'd be like, that's why you're down in Virginia Tech all the way from Maryland. Like, you're finished. You know, like, unless that guy is whack as shit, you can't win. So I think, like, you're going to this. Even though there's not that type of bias, it is coming down to four people.
Yeah, and
let's
circuit,
be honest,
that's real.
And it's coming down to VH1 producers too. So, is there a perfect answer to how to judge a battle?
I always go by who's the funniest. I don't know. For me, that's always I'm like, okay, that was funny, you know. And I feel like if you can hit them with a punchline that's a little bit more under the surface of just like a general insult, you know, like I had sex with your mother or your girlfriend or something like that. If you can hit them with something that's a little more clever that shows intelligence and the ability to rhyme, I feel like that's, oh, for me, that's what I always look for.
Yeah, I like guys that could take apart a person, like eviscerate them with their history and some back, like, research, you know, and Loaded Lux is doing it. And then he starts saying, you're just some dumb thug from the hood, you know what I mean? And he just rips into him and pretty much, like, reduces him to shit. I mean, it's just really impressive. I don't know how he gets the information or if it's just contrived or...
That Lux Calico thing, he dissected that dude worse than I've ever... That was, like, probably the most impressive showing.
Did you see him with Hollow, too? Oh, my God. He just fucking made mincemeat out of him about what a pathetic drug addict he was. And Hollow had to, like, jump back and go... do like an 8 Mile thing, like, what are you gonna tell me about, like, you know, what the crowd doesn't already know? But it was like, it was too late, because
like a
Lux
self-deprecation
said it
was
first,
like a self,
you know, so he had to just own it, and that made him kind of throw in the towel.
See, I always feel, well, first of all, I want to say it is interesting that with all the shit with, like, oh, Macklemore and rap, they didn't put a white person on the show, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that at all. If the best 8 people are all black, fine.
Is Disaster not white?
Disaster's Persian.
It was Persian.
Persian. Okay. Yeah, same
but
thing.
Even at that, like, if you were going to...
Racist,
like,
alert.
Well, he's like... like, if you're going to have 3 people, you'd have to have him. My point being, like, I feel like this is going to be very legitimate. Like, they're not shoehorning things in to make it palatable to the widest audience possible. You know
I
what I mean? It's a very specific target audience that they're going after, and, like, they're fucking nailing it.
Yeah,
I think we, you know, definitely a big shout out to the Grind Time people, because they have a lot to do with that. Like, those videos get like 100,000 hits, like, if not a lot more. You know what I mean? So to answer your question about how to judge it, here's what I think. I think anytime you've ever viewed a confrontation between just 2 people, like, you can tell who's got the momentum. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's, like, a very visceral, like, feel in the air. Like, you can get a read on their body language, like, who's winning. I always use that at MC battles, and I judged a handful. I was in a lot. It was like, you know what? Like, I can just see it in this dude's eyes. Like, he doesn't want to be here. It's not that he can't or he doesn't even want to be here. And then you'd see the dudes. I was like, you're not the most talented dude, but, like, you are confident as shit, and, like, it just comes across. You're going to beat the dude who's better, who's nervous right now. Then if it was that close, you know, like at a boxing match, like, it's a good thing there's 3 judges, but 90% of boxing fights, like, you probably don't need those people making a decision.
Right.
Whereas towards the end of battles, like, that was always my shit, particularly when it was freestyle stuff. Like, I think the written stuff is cool, but it's finite. Whereas Chuck and I have made this point a couple of times, too. Like, when you're freestyling, you start out probably at the lowest point and then work your way up. The best people just get there immediately. Whereas with writtens, like, it's hard to memorize, like, 120 bars. So by, like, the 20th minute, if you're not going to start freestyling, you're just going to run out of shit to say. But I always felt like battles were so dope at the end in a freestyle. I was like, we can't tell. Go another round.
Yeah.
And neither dude was like, oh, I don't know. Or, like, I'm not feeling it. Both dudes were like, fuck yeah.
Back pocket.
I just get to,
the one thing for me that I always have a problem with in the judging is that as an MC, especially in a freestyle battle, I feel like having... like a 2-bar or even a 1-bar moment of silence, to me, that's like automatic death unless you absolutely murdered every other line and you're basically letting the crowd get in. Whereas I feel like that sort of rule of thumb doesn't always go with the judging, but when I'm watching, I'll see a guy kind of freeze up and I'm like, all right, you're finished. Like, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not big on the fucking... people who have like a gimmick or something either. Like, if a 10-year-old kid's in a battle, I'm like, no, like, that's not cool. This kid's not ready for that. If he's not capable, he should get ate up. Like, I'm not saying, like, destroy the kid, but I'm like, yo, like, you gotta let this kid, or like, whoever's parents let this kid in, like, this was not a good idea.
So you've seen children in battles before?
I remember we were at the one at Seattle. There was like a young kid.
Yep.
And I can't remember if he was good or bad, but I remember thinking, I was like, yo, like, this is... like, I wouldn't let my 10-year-old son play basketball with 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's just 2 different things.
Yeah, no way. No, we've been having that in comedy a lot lately. 13 and 14-year-old kids coming really? Up. Dead serious.
Are they any good?
You know, one is not bad for her age.
I fuck with it if they're good.
Yeah, no, she's cool and I like her and she's letting me corrupt her. I give her all the, like, old hip-hop CDs.
How old is she?
You know?
How old is she?
No, in a good way. I fill her iPod with good shit, you know?
Oh, boy.
But you know something, then, like, you got, like, 13-year-old boys that come up there And it's like their parents are just trying to live vicariously through them. You can see it by the way they're
tell like, the one, tell the one about the tiger, Sam. Tell the one, tell, mom, shut
oh
up.
Oh, God.
And their parents and it's this write whole their weird material, and you can tell.
A comedy mom instead of a soccer mom. Mom.
It's this whole other weird thing, too, where like there's all these other angles of self-deprecating humor. Where it's just like, how do I know I was stuck in the sandbox? But like, just like this weird, like, right, I don't right. know.
I'm still wearing diapers. Wow, wow.
Yeah, no, they all have to roll that
actually,
age.
Those
thing.
Are both good jokes for the record.
Yeah, but we're adults, kind of.
What is snack time?
How would I know? It's my snack time.
Yeah. Beat it. I mean, I can't even find it.
I mean, I feel like that, you know, there should be a demarcation. It's like there are environments or like people at that age and like mental capacity to go, you know, work on their shit. But like the adult version where people have paid to do it and like it's like a shark tank because you're taking up another comedian's time, that might not be the place.
Yeah, no. Some got business there, some don't.
Get right. your kid the fuck out of here.
Get him hey. Out.
Got the 13-year-old podcasters, too, man. We got to contend with them.
Yo, by the way, the next – I want to tease for the next episode. The next Them That's Not is rappers who have tried to have a podcast. This one's going to be really good. So do your research.
You have it
Steve,
tonight
we about
or
to,
no?
We about to get into some music?
You have it tonight or no?
No, it's coming up episode 34. I'm still trying
yeah,
to round
actually,
out.
Let's, yeah, actually, let's –
You know, I always have to make it so Cole loses.
All right. Yeah, why don't you sign us out of here?
It's like the Illuminati. I knew that shit existed. I knew that's what you were doing,
we'll,
Chuck.
We'll play one last track, but why don't you sign us out, K-Chrome?
For Petey Suggs, C's Mikes, and Steve Bills, this is K-Chrome. Chrome Bills, episode 33. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Boom.
This motherfucker, man. This song, shut up, will you? Talking about I owe you. Bitch, you owe me. I'm promoting you right now. Yo, let's put the nail in this coffin.
I don't wanna be like this. I don't really wanna hurt no feelings. But I'm only being real when I say nobody wants to hear their grandfather rap.
Nope.
And old men have heart attacks. And I don't wanna be responsible for that. So put the mic down and walk away. You can still have a little bit of dignity.
I would never claim to be no Ray Benzino, an 83-year-old fake Pacino. So how can he hold me over some balcony without throwing his lower back out as soon as he goes to lift me? Please don't, you'll probably fall with me and our asses will both be history. But then again, you finally get your wish, cause you be all over the street like 50 Cent. Fucking punk pussy, fuck you chump. Give me a one-on-one, see if I don't fuck you up. Try to jump the Rough Riders and they cut you up. And you put Jada on a track, that's how much you suck dick in the industry. Swear that you in the streets hustling. You sit behind a fucking desk at the source butt kissing and begging motherfuckers for guest appearances. And you can't even get the clearances, cause real lyricists don't even respect you or take you serious. It's not that we don't like you, we hate you, period. Talk about a midlife crisis, damn. Last week he was shaking Obie Trice's hand. Now he's a buster? What the fuck's with that? Get on a track dissing us, kissing 50's ass, and asking me what I know about indictments. Fight me, bitch, I got two cases and probation. Fight me. What do I know about standing in front of a judge like a man ready to take whatever sentence he hands? What you know about your wife slicing a wrist right in front of the only thing that you have in this world? A little girl, and I put that on her. When this is all over, I would never try to make her a star and eat off her. I don't know shit about no shopping rocks, but what you know about it? Pop shops, rocking spots, where you're the only white boy up in that bitch just ripping, pressing up your own flyers and your stickers, sticking them bitches up after spending 6 hours at Kinko's. Making copies of your covers of cassette singles to sell them out of the trunk of your tracer. Spending your whole paychecks at disc makers. What you know about being bullied over half your life? Oh, that's right. You should know what that's like. You're half white. Vanilla Ice, Philippines and rice. I'm eating you alive inside. Jesus Christ, if you're that much of a gangster, put the mic down. You should be out killing motherfuckers right now. Kill a motherfucker dead. Kill him dead, bitch. Shoot him in the fucking head. Go ahead, bitch. Slap my mom. Slap the fuck out of her. She can't sue you. She wouldn't get a buck out of you because you're broke as fuck. You suck. You're a fucking joke. If you was really selling coke, wouldn't what the fuck you stop for, dummy? If you slew some crack, you'd make a lot more money than you do from rap. You'll never have no security. You'll never be famous. You'll never know what it's like to be rich. Life's a bitch, ain't it, Raymond? Here, let me
me break this shit down in layman's terms for you, just to make sure that you can understand it. Some cannabis ain't using too many complicated fucking words for you. Yeah, let me slow it down for you so that you can understand if I say it slower. Let it go, dog, it's over.
I don't wanna be like this. I don't really wanna hurt no feelings, but I'm only being real when I say nobody wants to hear their grandfather rap. And old men have heart attacks, and I don't wanna be responsible for that. So put the mic down and walk away. You can still have a little bit of dignity.
Talking about, I have motherfuckers calling your crib. Bitch, you ain't even got a fucking crib. You ain't even got a fucking phone. Fucking pump. Threatening to shut me down at your little fucking Source magazine if I come back when you wanna attack you. Get you attack me first. Take it like a man and shut the fuck up. And fuck your little magazine too. I don't need your little fucking magazine. I got double XL's number anyways. And y'all can't stand it cause they getting bigger than y'all. Oh. And by the way, how'd I look on the VMAs? Was watching me from whatever fucking TV you was watching me from in Boston, the mean streets of Boston, fucking sissy. Think you got a scared up here, motherfucking sucker, motherfucking pigs. Oh, and for those that don't know, don't get it twisted, yo. The Source has a white owner.